Well, and here he says in verse 14, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, were it not that I had regard for the for Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came about when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of trenches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink both you and your cattle and your beasts. Oh, Darren, this is a magnificent miracle, because it didn't come through rain, and it didn't come through wind bringing that water.
Now, what I like is the next thing he said, but this is but a slight thing in the sight of the Lord. He shall also give the Moabites into your hand. And I want to say this to our friends that are listening today, that in this message we're trying to point out here is that these things are still available. And see, this doesn't stress God at all. And your owie, your hurt, your biggest hurt, your biggest challenge does not stress the Lord God at all.
That's
this is
right.
A slight thing for him to answer you.
And I'd like to talk about the minstrel a little bit. Why did Elisha call for a minstrel? I believe with the lowing of the cows and the bleating of the sheep and the crying of the armies of the men, we have no water, there was great commotion and great chaos right now at this moment. Elisha wanted to go aside with a minstrel for a moment of time and have him play in quietness and stillness so he could hear God's voice. I believe, Darren, this is a real message for us today. When we want to hear God's voice, we don't hear him in the traffic jams in our business office. We have got to go away for a few moments, for a while, and hear the voice of God.
If it's really important, and you may not be able to do that, but I believe under ideal circumstances, what the prophet was saying is, I want to lock out the natural and I want to hear the voice of God.
Yes.
And I believe that same thing today. In fact, I get some of my best messages between 2 and 4 in the morning. With, I've said many times, I don't hear the neighbor's dog bark, and I recognize that bark, and I don't hear the television, I don't hear the sirens, I don't hear the cars. It's quiet, and it's not as difficult to block out the natural environment.
Well, and you also say when you go away, like in the afternoon, you find a quiet place.
That's right.
Off on a side street or off on a by a pool or a waterfall.
A fountain.
I like that. Where you can get away and in the quietness, listen to God's voice. And I believe that's why this minstrel was called, because there was just too much commotion for Elisha to even hear anything. And so we say to you, turn off the radios. Yeah, I know, we're on the radio, but turn them off when you've got them on all day long. And the televisions, Darren, I know some people, they go to sleep with a television on and they wake up with a television on. We need to have some quiet time with the Lord.
You know, I think you're really onto something when you say, and I'm going to add something else here. Turn off the tapes. I don't care whose tape it is that's trying to, you know, speak and teach you. When you listen to the voice of God, you don't need to hear my voice or Barbara's voice on tape or anybody else.
That's right.
You need to turn the radio off. You need to turn, in many cases, that Christian music off. You need to get quiet before the Lord so your whole attention. Now, I want to tell you, when you start learning to do this, it's a dogfight. Because your spirit's going to say, well, you need to go to the phone and call somebody. You need to go to the refrigerator and get something to eat. You need to go get a cup of coffee. You need to blah, 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 blah. You need to quiet that and say, this time is my time with the Lord for him to listen to me and me to listen to him, because I want to get it straight.
Oh, yes.
And if you will discipline yourself to do that, and I'm telling you, I know. And it's you know, the natural body just pulls you and, you know, well, yeah, I ought to go take care of this. Maybe I ought to make a list of the things I got to do. I got a 3x5 card in my pocket. You know, oh, I got to pick up the cleaning in the morning, or I got to go to the grocery store. I got to go somewhere. Got to. You need to shut that down so what you're hearing is the voice of God. Now, I'll tell you, that's where I use the prayer language. And it says, he who prays in tongues, his mind is unfruitful and his spirit is praying. Your spirit is praying, your mind, and that's exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because your mind is what's squirrely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the playground of the devil. He'll drop all kinds of things in there to get you off the track.
Yes, that's right.
So you need to learn to discipline yourself.
Yes.
And it is a dogfight.
It is, but we are able to learn.
That's right.
We are able to learn it. Now what they did when the Lord says, I want you to put trenches, make trenches, this was hard work for these guys. Now, what they did probably all night long, they felled trees and they built up dams, just like beavers, because there was no water in these reservoirs, but they built it up so that the reservoirs would hold this water when it came. So here came faith, Darren. These evil men believed Elisha's words, and they went and felled trees and built up dams and built up reservoirs so that it would hold water. This took faith. They could have said, you know what, I don't believe a word you say. And they could have all died there, but they believed the word of the prophet. And I must give them some credit for that, even these evil, wicked kings.
Do you know, I believe they did. They believed him because they were listening to Jehoshaphat, too.
Well, that's true, and they were desperate. Right. These were desperate times. So then it happened in the morning after they had done all this work all night long that they built up the springs of water and put stones around every place where water could stand. It happened in the morning about the time of offering of the sacrifice that, behold, water came by way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Now, it doesn't tell how the water came, but I believe it just flowed. It flowed through those trenches and canals that these men had built up. Now, all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them. Now, the Moabites were in their familiar territory. Now, Edom and Israel and Judah were in foreign country. They had marched and come up to Moab, and all were able to put on armor, and older were summoned and stood on the border. So Moab was ready for them. And they rose early in the morning, and the sun shone on the water, and the Moabites thought the water opposite them was as red blood. Now, this is something the Lord did to them. He made their eyes to see blood instead of water. This is a miracle from God.
I realize that, but you know, I have seen some sunsets and
I've seen some sunrises.
Where it just looked like everything was just ablaze.
You're right.
The sky, the clouds, the water, you know, you look across a lake that's just absolutely still. There's no ripples at all. I could see how that could be red as blood. And God used their imaginations against them.
Yes.
Said, oh my goodness, you know, what's going on here?
And they said, this is blood. The kings have surely fought together, and they have slain one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites arose and struck the Moabites so that they fled before them. And they went forward into the land, slaughtering the Moabites. Thus they destroyed the cities, and each one threw a stone on every piece of good land and filled it. So they stopped all the springs of water and felled all the good trees until in Kirasheth only they left its stones. However, the slingers went about it and struck it. When the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. And they took his oldest son, who was to reign in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering on the wall. And there came great wrath against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. I see here such horrible things from foreign kings who worship these idols, that they would sacrifice their own sons to get a victory. And Darren, that was something that God hated.
Well, there was a time there of human sacrifice. Excuse me now. In chapter 4, we read the marvelous story of the widow's oil, and we're going to take that up here in just a little bit. We're going to take a break from just driving ahead and teaching all this stuff. But folks, I want to pray for you right now that you will begin to open your eyes to the spirit world that is around you. And see, I believe that if you think about it, you'll agree with me here that Jesus Christ, he created so many things for you, and there's an awesome inventory there that you're not leaning on. A lot of you aren't, anyway. And some of you never thought about it. You've always looked at what's around you, the opportunities around you, and the challenges that are in the natural world. But I want to tell you, the battle in the spirit world can bring about victory in the natural world if you know how to fight. And you've got to depend on Holy Spirit and on the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So if you've got something coming against you, you need to start speaking the Word against that thing. Now that's something you can pull out of the spirit world. That gives you authority and power and ability that you have already been given by the Lord God in Genesis 1. You're to rule, subdue, and dominate your circumstances. Well, how do you do that? You've got to have something outside of yourself, more powerful than yourself. You reach up into the spirit world, and you begin to bring down the gift of miracles. You begin to bring down the gift of healing and the power of increase, and you're going to see things change. And we're going to talk about that here as we begin 2 Kings 4, about the story about the widow's oil. We're going to talk about the spirit of increase.